So I learned not to, you know, to change your position. So there's a kind of a peninsula right out from the bear, where the bear started to swim from, across the river there. And I got in back of that so the wind wouldn't hit so hard. And then I waited, the bear would come out on the other side. And I shot him. And it went right through his heart. He jumped out of the water up on the bank, but he was so dead that he never pulled his hind feet up. Tunnel was too right up. Well, we got him in the boat, and I had some muskrat in there. I looked at the muskrat, looked at the boat. I'd never go and hunt muskrat more. The hollies wouldn't be bear. Well, anyway, I took him up the hills, and Alfred Wilson come along, and he offered me $25 for the bear, just he was. So I'd made my money. I'd made my, if I hadn't got any more. But I took the bear and skinned him, and then took the meat, cut up in little pieces, put up Fallon Pond, took the bear skin along. Gee, I got big money for my bear, because I sold so much a chunk.
So bear meat?
Yeah, bear meat. Yeah.
You're shooting with that gun that I've got.
Huh?
You shoot him with that gun that I've got.
You know what?
Did you shoot the bear with that gun that I've got?
No. No. No, 38-55 I had. Yeah.
Well, you sold more of that bear than that. I understood you rendered the fat or something.
Well, I did. My wife...
made some tonic out of it and put perfume or I don't know.
Well, my mother tried out the fat. She got 5 gallons. And it's just like lard. You can't tell it from lard if it's tried out good. It's just as white as lard, and she had it in big jars. And I sold it for $1 a quart. That is for lameness.
Rheumatism and all that?
All that, yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably been all right for arthritis. I don't know. And then...
sold that for how much? $1 and a quarter?
$1 a quart.
$1 a quart.
Right? Yeah.
I had
5 gallons.
How much money did you make off that bear?
$20 right there.
Huh? How much did you make off the bear?
Wait, he isn't finished yet. He made some kind of a hair tonic or
something. Oh, I had took and got alcohol and cut it with alcohol and sold the hair tonic. Well, the bear oil itself is good to make hair grow. And,
So you sold hair tonic for make your hair grow and bear grease for rheumatism and
well then we had it wife and I had that for croup for our children.
I remember.
Yeah. Rub their chest for croup with the bear grease.
Take some.
Oh, you mean they had to swallow it?
Huh?
They had to swallow that stuff.
Nothing wrong with it, you know.
Well, they kind of snort, do they?
Well, there's two noises that they make, I guess. They snort if they start making them run, I guess. But this whistle, yeah, I don't know if I can explain it.
Kind of hooting noise.
I forgot just what it did sound like, but I know some way I knew what a bear sounded like, you know. And all I had is a shotgun. And I come home, and I wouldn't go back to my traps unless I had a rifle. And of course, I had a heifer that they gave me, a calf, and I'd grown up. And they said that, well, if I had a rifle, I'd have to sell my heifer. And, well, I said, I got to have a rifle because I can't go in my trap. So I sold the heifer and bought the rifle. That's 38-65.
That's the one that I got, you mean?
No.
That's the lower action.
Huh? Yeah, that.
So where did this gun come from that I've got?
See, I bought that from somebody. I forget who. I had two of them. I had a long one and I had this one here. Well, this bear story, they thought I was crazy, you know. They didn't think there was any bear around. Well, the next year, I saw a bear across the meadow. It seems they have a crossing right about where I shot this bear. And I saw a bear across the meadow. So I pulled my boat. Saw a bear across the river. Oh, my grandfather said, you didn't see a bear. I said, you saw this old yellow dog. I said, I didn't. I saw a bear. But you see, the next year I shot the bear. So I proved my case.
So you went to trap after that, huh?
Huh?
You got the
20. Oh, yeah. Never bothered me again. I had my trapping after that. Because he's pretty good, you know. He do what he agreed to do. Yeah. Yeah. But I've been kind of out of luck if I hadn't caught anything.
You wouldn't be trapping today, probably.
Well, I know. I used to have a horse go to the traps. And he was a long rangy fella. And but he couldn't get him to jump. He wouldn't jump at me. So I had a saddle for him. I took him up the back pasture, hard a board fence, and I left one board up. And he went back a piece and got him in a run. And he'd run and come that, he couldn't step over it, he'd jump it. So I kept practice, left the whole fence up. And from then on, I never took down a fence. Jumped everything that he come to. Go all the photos, all back pastures and everywhere. Jumped the fences.
Pretty handy.
Pretty handy. And he caught a horse. He came down one day towards the house. Well, it was in Gray's pasture now. And I had a trap. Some traps there, and I left him upon the knoll and went down to fix these traps. And all at once he took his head to leave. My God, the way he went. And I said to myself, my gosh, I got to walk home because the fence won't bother me, you know. Went way down and I took a chance to come right back and throw his off with that. You know about that? You wouldn't think the horse didn't know that much. Yeah. And the same horse, we had the my stepfather had cattle up the foot of Ball Mountain, up on what we call the Stewart place, pasture up there. And he said, we got the cattle down, there was four heifers and this steer, big steer, that had gone wild and couldn't get them. And so he said he'd give you $1 apiece if I'd get those five cattle. And so I went up, and I got the four heifers, didn't bother me too much. I earned my dollar pretty easy, but this biggest deer was wild, and he was a big fella. And I waited till Luke comes from snow so I'd track him, because he, just as soon as he heard you, he'd run. And so I tracked him a piece, and then he went up on this side of the hill, and he was probably 10 or 15 rods from me on the side of the hill, and I was down this other way. And watching him, and over this other way, there was a logging road. And when he came down that logging road, he turned, come right down the logging road. And so I went back to run the horse as fast as I could, and I came in behind him. And we went right down that logging road, right out straight. And then left the logging road, and there's trees and everything. And that colt seemed to know what his job was. He had his head right down and followed that steer. And I laid my head right down beside his so he would pull me off and go right out through the bushes. Oh, just as fast as he could run. And he came down where there was an old fence, an old building fell down, some boards there. And you threw him off, threw his leg kind of slanted, and threw me off. Anyway, I got back on, and the steer got ahead of us a little ways. But we went after the steer again, and he run down in the woods about, 4 or 5 rods, and stopped. Stood still, just bracing up, big bull and big head of log on. And I had this rope, and I reached this rope over, got it on his horns, and all at once he started, and he took me, I got the rope off, all of it, he started, and went down through the woods with me, just as fast as he could go. And you know, that I called that colt, and that colt came way down the woods where I was. You'd hardly believe it had a horse to do with that. And well, then I tied the yoke to the rope to the horn of the saddle, and the bull he laid down for a while, and then he managed to pull him right along. How did he get the what? But he got to the covered bridge.
Devote your life to just making about right. Okay, right. One of the people that have helped us and their organization to untangle the.
I doubt it, I'm helping. But you know, the one that didn't get killed, that critter hadn't pitched on me way up in the woods all alone, for pity's sake, I wouldn't stand no chance at all.
You had quite a cow pony there, didn't you?
Huh?
You had quite a cow pony there. He was pretty well trained.
He was trained, yeah. Yeah, he was trained. I'm over the cold place hill in the open field, and I run him fast, and then I thought the woodchucks hold. Had him right out straight, and you know, the woodchuck house, some of them might have a hole, put me down straight. He stepped in the woodchuck's hole. I went about 4 rods before I started off. I get off the ground, he's just peed himself up way back there.
Didn't break his leg?
Huh?
Didn't break his leg?
No, sir, didn't. Didn't even lame him. I was surprised at that. Mm.
Lucky.
Yeah, I was lucky. I never run him in the open field anymore. Well, I had it. I'd have to learn sometime the hard way. But I went right along with that. I went as fast as I did to Henry Cole, and I was on the steers.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Huh?
I haven't heard that one.
You never heard that one?
I don't think so.
Well, over to the Blake School, you know, out front there, there used to be a high hill.
Yeah.
See, there's gravel. I sold out a lot of money on that hill. And Henry Cole and I used to, he had some skis, homemade skis. They were made out of just board that didn't turn up much, you know. So he had some straps on it, and he and I both slide. He had his feet in the strap, but I'd stand on behind him, hold on his shoulder. So we went up this hill, you know, going way up there, put their feet down. And then when it came down to the bottom, it didn't turn up enough, stuck right in.
You took off again.
I took off again. Didn't hurt me, it hurt him pretty bad because one of them held his leg, you know. He didn't lose, yeah. But there's a good deal of same performance as the colt. All things.
Never broke any bones, huh?
Hmm?
Never broke any bones, huh?
The only time I got any bones was when the bull broke my wrist. You didn't know the bull broke my wrist? Yeah, that's the only bull. We had a bull run in with the young cattle, and we had a blindfold on him. And the year before, he wore that blindfold. And the next spring, we could put the blindfold back on. And you know, he knew what that thing was as soon as he saw it. And we had him hitched in the stable. And I forget just how it happened, but anyway, he had little stub horns, and he made a swipe at us with his head, And you know the iron pipes between the cowers, you know. And he caught my wrist right under that pipe and come up with all the force he had with that stub horn against my wrist on the oar side and the wine pipe on the other side. And he broke my wrist. And I went up to the doctor. What do you think the doctor was then? Anyway, he cursed it around some and I didn't holler, and so he said he didn't think I broke it. I suppose if I'd hollered, he thought I broke it. I didn't holler easy. So they come home, and it's in hand. It's out in hand because I know we had some hay to shake out, and I had a strap on here and everything, and the gut soldier was quite, I could use it pretty good. And then I guess I used it too hard, and I guess broke it again. Because the next time it didn't heal. But that was another thing. That must have happened when Jean was there, Earl's children. Because Jean used to run a rake, you know, for me. And I had a horse that was, he was high. He always wanted to run away if he could. And so we were going to do some raking. And I had him, and I had Gene go ahead. Because I wasn't able to hold him back very good, you know. And we got along on the road, but soon as we turned down the road, he went by. And I couldn't hold him. He went right up over, right up over the other wheel. Gene got run away with once in a while.
Yeah.
Do you have to have your wrist in a cast the next time?
No, I never did. I just a little more careful. Didn't it even leave a little bit of
a lump on your
wrist. Yeah.
But those blinders that you were putting on the ball, what did they do? Keep them so he couldn't look straight ahead. He had to look just down.
Huh?
Those blinders you were putting on the bowl, was that just to keep him from looking straight ahead so he could look down?
Yeah.
So he wouldn't go getting out, or is that what that was for?
Yeah, that's right. But do you remember Ruth, the bull coming after Ruth?
The bull?
Yeah.
Vaguely, but I can't remember.
I don't know if it's the same bull or not, but we had a bull, and the blindfold was made of wood, you know, and hung down over his eyes.
Oh.
And Ruth, a little girl, and she were up in the pasture, and the bull come after her, and she'd run to get up a tree. And then I guess the bull left, and then she came back down, and as I said, the bull took after her. And I didn't think it could. With a blindfold on, so I went up with her. My gosh, the bull didn't—he come again. And I don't know. I guess I hit him with a stone or something. Got him stopped anyway. But she put an arrow escape for her. You would ask about it sometime. He'd throw a head right up like that and come right after.
This is a wooden thing that hung down over his eyes.
Yeah.
Put it around his horns or something?
Yes. He didn't have much horns to put around the stubs, but yeah. And then that hung down, and he could see all right, you know, but...
Just down at his feet.
Yeah.
Didn't you have some sheep that would do that too? The rams, wouldn't they go after the kids? Didn't they get... See, so I remember they did.
They went after children?
Yeah, did you have some rams? I remember being taught anyway to lay down when they came after.
Yeah.
But did they ever? I can't remember that.
No, I don't remember.
Must be they did. You wouldn't have taught us to lay down.
Probably did.
What'd you lay down for?
Because they won't go after you for flat.
If you're down flat, they can't get at you. They just paw you a little bit.
I wouldn't
want to know. We used to have a lot of hens that had about 1,000 hens, I don't know what 1,000 hens. I picked up the eggs at noon, I had 2 10-quart tails. They had the banking, they hadn't taken the banking down, I had to get down on the banking. I lost my balance. I went head first down over there and caught the tail on the bank and took pails of eggs in my head and I fell together. You would think to break every egg, but it didn't. It didn't break over half of them.
There's 10 quarts.
Did I ever tell you about the...
Did you ever figure out how you could make use of those busted eggs?
I haven't gotten what they did do.
Hair tonic. Mix it with bear oil and made hair tonic.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you get a scolding for that?
Huh?
Did you get a scolding for that?
Don't remember. If I did, I don't. Maybe they didn't know about it.
Hands didn't lay very good today.
I used to have a great time with the hens. See, Earl, my brother was 8 years younger than I was, so I played alone for a long time, you know. And what I didn't get into, we had these hens in different pens, you know, and each pen had a rooster. And so I'd have rooster fights.
Uh-huh.
Cock fights, huh? The only thing I had to look out for is they didn't pick one on the house and get bloody. Tell the story. And but sometimes they'd all get discouraged, so they wouldn't fight. But I had one pen that I'd always get a fight in. The old Plymouth Rock Rooster, oh, he's a great big fella. I don't know, he'd weigh 10 pounds, I guess. I don't know. And I had a little brown leg and rooster, weighed about 3 pounds. And I'd always get a fight out there.
See?
How's that?
Seven pounds
more. Yeah, but with a little brown leg and rooster, it was business. The old big room, you know, we'd jump at him, and the little ones would jump away. And the old big ones would jump at him, he'd jump away. And by and by, you could see the old big Plymouth Rock Rooster getting winded. And then he couldn't have himself very well. And my gosh, you know, that room was full of brown bacon. Brown bacon, right up around his head, just... And the old rooster would get sick of it, and go and stick his head in the wall, that way. But he never finally gave up. The next day, he tried again. So I always get in a fight.
You didn't like for entertainment, did you? You made your own.
Huh?
took a lot of fun with the hens. Take a piece of meat, you know, and then tie a string on it. Long string, two pieces of meat, put meat over his end, throw it down the head. So they come along, one pick it up and sit on it, and the other one pick it up and sit on it. It'd be quite a while before they find out they'd hitch together. And then they found it hitch together, and they'd have to pull one of them pull it up.
Then the other one get. Two pieces of meat and a piece of string, huh?
I don't know whether it happened or not, but I'd lose my string if it did that. I don't know what they'd done to me if they knew I was fighting the roosters.
They never did
know,
huh?
No, I don't think they ever found out. See, the men was away a lot. I was around there all alone.
That was a mistake, wasn't it?
The worst thing that happened, I guess, it scared me the most. I hitched I used to get those little firecrackers in bunches, and I hitched a bunch to the cat's tail. And lit it up the said chamber. And he began to fire off, you know, and the old cat run and jumped out the shed chamber window onto a roof and went right up into the barn, up into the hay barn, with with some firecrackers going off. Boy, I stood back thinking the barn's going to go up in flames. It didn't become of it.
Speaking of those roosters, nobody ever come around to me and ask why those roosters seem to be all tired out.
The only one that seemed to get too tired was the old Plymouth dog.
What do you stick his head in the hole in the tent for, just to get away? Huh? Just stick his head in the hole in the tent just to get away?
I was asking if you'd never seen hens pick each other before.
They pick each other on the head, huh?
Yeah, they pick each other on the head, and then when they one of them gets fired, she's had all she wants, they'll run and run into a corner or somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Way to get their back to the other one.
Yeah, the old Prothog must have had a regular place he went.
But
it's funny to watch how they'll probably get rusted. When they first start the fight, you know, he wouldn't do anything to him, just jump back and forth. The old big try to get in, jump back and forth. And then, half the old, he was right in the air, right up over top of him. But always he'd get a fight. Because the old Plymouth Rock Rooster, when he got his breath, he was going to fight again. And the little brown legged rooster never got beat, so he should always fight.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't
know. Those are great days. Yes, sir. Well, Mrs. Hayes, is it time for us to... Yeah, I think so.
I don't know how I'm going to get my therapy today, do you?
Don't take a vacation today.
Good, I hate to, because it kind of sets it back.
Yeah.
Taking a lot of my time, boy. Hope I get done before it comes down to the garden.
Now maybe the warm weather will be therapy.
Warm weather helps.
Do you have an electric heating pad help?
No, I had one. I had one for Olive after she got so she couldn't get in the bathtub. I sent her a robot and got one. But had a steam plate in it, but it seems that you need the water.
You need the coal too, though.
Yeah, you need the coal. Yeah. But it cost me money to heat that water. $62 this last time.
Ours went up from $120 to $165 this last time. I think the price went up.
Well, he said the price went up and went back down. He said I was lucky. He said I didn't get it on the high price.
From Derby Line, it went up, like this girl was talking about, her bill had been normally 40. Last month it was 60.
So 50%, isn't it?
I forgot what the price was. I forget what the price was. Was it 40, 48, 43, or what?
Heater in the tractor. 450, 500 watts. That's going to cost something, can't help it.
But our bill before the
tax
bill was way down from what it used to be. This time it's way back up
and
then over.
Did go down and back up? Go down and then back up?
Yeah.
That's what he said. He said I was lucky because he said this last time it had been up and gone back again.
And this bill was almost a week. 5, 6 days.
So well trained. You think big on me. Yeah. I was doing some lumbering on my mother's place, or I'm now, but on the place down there, and I used to use him to skid logs with.
Go speak. Okay. Speak, Don! I hear my father. No.
You, Don, you!
Keep quiet.
Yeah.
I'll take a shell mouse up.
What's an
I'm sorry, people. This female sucked. You can play Fred.
Think if we know that there's a slut in that, don't think we would get all the captain.
Anybody find out?
I guess not. I don't seem to remember
anything.
No better, so I guess it didn't.
She didn't ask questions about that white cat that was all dirty? She didn't ask questions about that white cat being all dirty?
No, I don't seem to remember that cat. I fell in once the cows got in, turned up around my neck. I fell in again, well, my neck and horses got in. But we used to, way back when I was a baby, a kid, they used to have a road across the river to the mill. See, my stepfather owned the Whitcomb Mill, and we used to have a logging road right across from the swamp through the winter, and across the brook, across the river. And so they was going down across the river, and towards spring of the year, and there's a current there, and it opened up, and the horse jumped the hole in the ice, and the sleigh struck the edge of it, and threw Mother and I right in the river, and they wore hoop skirts, and that spread out, held her up. She threw me out on the ice, and he held the horse, and she'd get hold of the sleigh and pull herself back up and get in. And they said I couldn't remember that, but I can. I can remember before we fell in, the whole sketch, you know, but it didn't see it in time. And then I remember after they got back in how fast they went. And I suppose they want to get quite warm. But just think the times I've been in the river. Good. Hey, I don't dare say much about it. I might not get out next time. But I don't go down there unless I have a life jacket on. The last time I fell in, I did have life. When I took the boat over, I did have a life jacket. And but the time before that, I didn't have anything, and I went right to the bottom. I don't went to the bottom because I had a cap on, and when I got back in the boat, the cap was all full of mud. I know I went to the bottom, and I know when I began to swim, I remember I could feel the grass under me. It wasn't really the shore, but it was where, you know, mud comes out and stays in the grass, grows up on it. Jay was with me, you know, he little boy. Jay. And I can't figure out why I fell in that time. He was in the back of the boat, and I was up in the front of the boat, and I went back to help him, he got a fish on or something, anyway, I went back to help him. He little boy, they first came here, you know. And I went back to the front of the boat, and the first thing I knew, I was in the river, and hell, and where I got right to the bottom. I was told him off a beat, probably 5 feet.
Deep enough.
Deep enough. Deeper on the other side.
Papa, can you remember any funny stories happened? You're making ice cream? Are you making ice cream? Did anything funny happen to you?
I don't know what it was.
I don't know. I just wondered if you remembered anything.
No, I don't know if I did.
And there's something else I wanted you to tell me about. The bears after your sheep. Didn't you, Mama, go out and chase a bear or something?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we went way up on the hill with a flashlight and a rifle.
And we didn't see the bear. We were trying to find him. Somebody saw the bear before and told us. And then we went out after him. But we didn't see him.
Well, I remember one bear you said you got because you sold the hide or something and you sold the meat to somebody else. And...
Well, that...
made hair tonic out of...
That was a bear he killed.
You made hair tonic out of the...
That was a bear you killed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's quite a story about that. It had a lot to do on the farm, you know, and I was working, and come time to trap, I always trapped ever since I could set a trap. But before I could set a trap, I'd set a trap for woodchucks, you know, and I'd get the hired men to set the trap for me. And then I'd go and stick it in the hole. And so this time, they got the trap ready, and I went way up the back field and set the trap in the hole with the woodchuck. And covering it up, I covered it up too much, and it sprung up into the fingers. and I wasn't big enough to get it off. And that's when I learned to run. I had to run clear to the house with the trap on my fingers. I got the habit again of having traps on my fingers.
You haven't quit that doing that yet, have you?
Still do it.
You just get into the trap. Wasn't it this last fall you got into the trap?
Huh?
Yeah.
Tell Gene about that. I don't think
he's
heard that. Tell
Gene about
getting
in the trap this fall.
Yeah.
What did I tell him, bro?
Yeah.
This
November.
Yeah. Tell Gene
about it.
Well, see, I have over to what I call Cold Place, a brook over there, and a high bank, and a deep hole on where that high bank is. And I set traps on the bank, and I stand in the brook to set my traps so they won't smell it. This morning, the traps are frozen up, so you see they're cold. It was the last day of November. And so I stood in the brook, and you see those traps, after they freeze, you've got to spring them, because they stay frozen. So I got standing in the brook, and water up almost to my knees, and opened the trap. And about that time, this foot here that wiggled, began to wiggle. And in the bottom of the brook was about 7 inches of mud. And as you stand that mud, it's hard to get out, you know. Well, my foot began to wiggle, and I started over backwards, and that trap shot up on the thumb. Big number four coyote trap, big trap. And you see, my foot began to wiggle, and I couldn't get my feet out of that mud. And so I went over backwards right in the brook. But I managed to turn as I went, so that I didn't strike on my back, I struck on my side. But of course, the water was about a foot and a half deep, and my both feet stuck in that mud. And a trap on my thumb, me laying in the brook. Kind of a bad situation. Well, I managed to get my feet loose, get up on the feet. My trouble wasn't over. That trap was on my thumb and staked to the bottom of the brook. And the stake was put in hard because I drove it with an axe, because those coyotes I had to hold it on. And so I had to pull... Well, quite a number of times. I guess the Lord did extra things to pull the stuff because I couldn't get away. Here I was. Not about 150 rods from the house, from the road. But you know something? That was my first stage of therapy for my leg. That's right. See. If you ever get wet like that, you must remember that you've got to keep moving, fast, do something. You don't stop. So I kept right on. I went to the rest of my traps and got home and took my clothes off and took a hot bath. Here was the cold to begin with. Here was a hot bath.
A hard therapy.
Therapy.
Well, if you fell in the first time when you were two, and this time when you were 98,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know what the Lord's getting me from, but it must get me to something. Because, as much as at least 10 times I just escaped death in my accidents and so on.
Well, I must say you believe in immersion.
That helps. Yeah. One time, I think that had been the worst death because you couldn't have been enough left to pick me up. Hauling logs off from Ball Mountain, and the stepfather and I, and he had a heavy team, and I had a light team. And back before we started down the mountain, there was a kind of a swamp and a little ups and downs, and giving my horses go fast down the hill, I get up next to them. So I could haul as big load as he could. But there's hauling 12-foot logs, most of them, hardwood logs are 12-foot, but there's some spruce. They were 16-foot, and they'd stuck out further towards the horses. Well, when I get up top of the hill, down these little places, down a little chute, then on a little level, and down another one, and then quite a number of those going down the mountain. And we didn't take, nobody take care of the road, and it would slow off, everyone would slow over when it went down the hill. And so I got out on those long logs so to be near my horses, keep my horses up. But I didn't get back. I stayed out there. That's where I made my mistake, you know, I didn't get back. Well, we're down this thing, this little chute down, and those logs rolled over. And the way I went, right out on, do you know about the old logging road sleds have a little low roll way down, you know, with the poles in, and the roll is down low. They're not a high nose. Well, I went right down in there. Well, it was all ready to go down another, and when it went down another, the logs would come out almost the horses, and I was going to get caught in there. So I jumped to get out of there, and they were 6-foot bunks with logs, big logs over, so probably 7-foot wide, and I jumped out of there, and you know, the reins, when I went down, caught me right by the legs, and I stuck right at the foot of a great big birch tree, and here's the logs going by here, and I stuck right down here. And that went by, and when it did, it took the bark off that tree. But I jumped hard enough so that the reins didn't hold me. I broke the reins. That yanked the horses almost down. I struck down here, and they went by, and I jumped up around and caught the horses ahead. Tied the reins together and on. But if those reins had held me a couple of seconds, it wouldn't have been enough for me to pick up. You know something?
Was that the time, about the same time that you got saved? That same time?
I can't remember. I don't know. I guess older than before. Yeah. I must have started seeming awful young. I must have.
Did you team with some oxen at all?
Huh?
Did you drive oxen at
all?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I drove oxen. Long time.
With logs, you mean?
Yeah, with logs. Yes, I hauled logs off from Ball Mountain with four oxen, and those hard hills, awful steep down, you know, and we used bridle chains. And I used to put the bridle chains on and let the oxen go, hold them back as long as I could, and then when I jump on the load. And the oxen right down, hanging right up on the hill, right up on the horn. Yeah.
Was it oxen you were driving when you got saved, when you were afraid the rest would come?
No, it was, I don't know. We was hauling logs, I can't tell. I can't tell. See, I was 20 when I was saved, but these different times I can't quite figure out.
Did you prefer working with oxen or horses?
Well, I drove horses first. My stepfather had he had about three teams, and I don't know whatever happened. They lost most all the horses. They had colic and they died and everything. And then he bought oxen, and he bought a pair of oxen. He sent me after him up in Morgan, and he told me when I got home to hitch on the sled and draw up manure. So I got home with my oxen, and to get them oxen on that sled, I couldn't. the oxen watch you all the time when you're driving oxen. They watch you all the time. And they looked at me as if they're disgusted.
Dumb kid, huh?
But we had an old fellow that stayed with us, and he knew oxen. So he helped me get hitched on. And then we hauled, I plowed with them and harrowed and everything. They was handy, that pair of oxen. You didn't have to walk beside them. You get up on the, if you spread manure, get up on the seat and the gene haul whatever you went. Yeah. And then
well, these are all broken in.
Yeah. Well, want another story? Uh-huh. Talk about break it in. You see, we had these oxen and they were handy. And then my brother, he was 8 years younger than I was. And we had a pair of steers and we decided we were going to break the steers and not let anybody know it. So the men, they'd go away somewhere and we'd get the steers out and put the yoke on, you know, and team them around. And we got the steers, so they were pretty handy. And nobody knew it. And then we had a pair of three-year-old bulls, big bulls. So we decided we'd break the bulls. So one bull was hitched up in the barn in the stable, and the other bull run loose down on the barn. Well, some way they got together and got in a fight, and one beat the other. And we made a mistake when we was going to hitch them up. We took one out and hitched the fence and went and got the other one. But we hitched the wrong one to the fence. The one we had had beat the other one. Gee, he pitched into the other one. The other one we hit. Well, we got other things straightened out. And got them yoked up. And you know, when you're driving them,
Jesus to come in, he'll give you everlasting life and take all those fears and doubts away right now. And you can know that you will have everlasting life forevermore. I'm going to ask you to just slip to your telephone right now as the Antone Indian family sang this song for us.
Here comes the bride.
Here comes the bride. And you are a part of that bride. Our time is almost gone.
And it's in the winter time, see, it's town meeting time. And turn the yoke. They pulled the tails apart and turned the yoke, one head each only. So we decided that, that's right. I decided to let them go, pull the bull pins. So they kind of cramped a little bit, kind of hard to pull the bull pins, and I pulled one bull pin. My guy, the other ox, he went. I went away with the yoke, and left just one ox eye, you know. And he was down the road, and he come back, and he's going so fast, the yoke stuck right out straight. That other plaguey bull didn't run. He pissed on me. and he knocked me down, and he got me right on his horn. He had a great big long horn. Three old bull aggressives under. And he actually be playing with me. He'd go this way, this way, and this way. And all the time he's going towards the fence. Gee, I never forget the fence that lasted me. Hello, little my brother. He was up there at the gate, and he saw what was happening. He come down, run, hollered at the bull. And the bull stopped just a second. And I got off his horn and grabbed the yoke. He's still yoke with us. Knocked the tooth out. The other bull is gone with the yoke. And I got him, the other one, up the horns and put him up in the barn. That's the last of Boulder's bull. But just imagine how near death I was with that bull. Nobody, a little fella, 8 years younger than I was, and probably 12 years old or so, nobody to help us, and me on the bull's horns.
You ever tell your folks about it?
I guess so. I guess they found out after a while. We didn't break any more bulls.
When they think about all the tracks around the yard and so forth, they see the tracks all around the house with the bull's tracks.
Yeah, I don't know. they never seem to find the other one, I think.
There's one I want to hear about you throwing the goose over the roof.
Huh?
Tell them one about throwing the goose over the roof.
The goose? Oh, gander.
Oh, gander, yeah.
We had chickens, and we had some geese, and we had a gander. He was an ugly old fellow. He pitching on everything. He'd even pitch on the horses when they went by. He would others. You know, he's a novel old girl. And we had this, I don't know, I guess it's a hen or something, because in a coop. And my gosh, he come along and pitched on it, whatever it was, in that coop. He pitched on to that. And I come along. I grabbed him by the neck, and I threw him right over the house. And it must be he went pretty fast and didn't get a chance to fly because he landed on the other side.
Did it kill him?
No.
Oh, it didn't?
No, it didn't kill him.
Teach him anything?
Huh?
Did it teach him anything?
No, he didn't. He couldn't teach him anything.
Just as mean as ever?
Huh?
Just as mean as ever?
Yeah, just as mean as ever.
Yula was telling us the other night how you taught the goblins not to jump into them. When you raised turkeys. Just tell what you did to teach the goblins not to jump into
you,
into the
care. I forgot again.
She said you'd take them and dunk them in the water trough.
Well, maybe I forgot that one. I remember when I was just a little boy, a little bit of a fella, and Bert, my stepfather, was putting some eggs under a goose. And he had the egg to set the goose, and he had the egg, and that old gander was there, and he had me hold the gander, and so I got started with the old gander and hold him and let my hand a little bit loose. He reached up and took me right to the nose, stripped me right down. But I was always more grit than most kids had, you know. But I just chucked that song, by God. He looked down the old gander and put me a gone.
Did he still hang on to your nose
when
you choked that? No, he didn't hang on. I want to hear the one about you hitting the bear.
You hit my grandfather?
Yeah, it was your grandfather, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, his bedroom was just off the kitchen. And I was a little bit of a fella. And he put a buffalo robe over his head and came out on all fours out of his bedroom. There's some killing wood there, and I grabbed a piece of killing wood and stuck him over the head. My mother said he'd get up and scratch his head, just say a bit.
Oh, he was going to try and scare you, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was going to try and scare me, you know. But I didn't scare. Yeah. Oh, dear, all the stories. Bert, I told you about the old buck coming at me? You know, I had an awful lot of grit, you know. She was nothing to get me, and nothing. I wouldn't give up for anything, and they always took advantage of it. And so, I was out in the stable, across the barnyard, and my father sent me, just wanted to go to the house to get something. And the old buck was up on the, towards the house, and I started down the other way, so I wouldn't go where the old buck was. And he says, no, I didn't go that way. I said, the old buck at me. Oh, I said, go ahead. Gee, the old buck come, you know, knocked me down. And instead of helping me, he said, he got a stick and he said, run up. When he starts to run up at him. So I did. When the old buck would start back, I'd run right up. You see, if they don't get a chance, they can't punch you. See, if you keep up close enough.
Can't run at you.
That's right. So instead of helping me, he just told me how to do it. Ha ha. Well, they went away after that, and the damn old buck came after me, and he learned me fight the old buck. I killed him. And I can see that old buck today. He laid on the ground, and he get all try to get him up, and he get all up on his head, but he couldn't move his head from the ground. But they lost the old buck, but he couldn't say nothing. He told me how to do it. Oh, dear.
How old were you?
Oh, I don't know. I can't. I don't know. I wasn't very big. But you know, he sent me up that purpose, you see. He didn't let me go the other way. But that was it. I had more grit than brains, and they took advantage of me. But they didn't always come out good. I know they had some cattle, the young cattle in the barn. And out in there, I don't know, they were wild. I didn't know what was the matter with them. Gee, they kicked me right sick and threw me out of the barn, around the stable. And I went back, I would think the same. You think I get started to do, you know, I wouldn't give up. Gee, how did they kick me out of the stable?
Yeah. I just see you complaining on fire.
Huh?
I just see you complaining on fire.
When you were a young man, you didn't weigh very much anyway, did you?
Oh, no. No, my father said I was an awful good man in my half, but didn't weigh any. No, I was 16 years old before I went down the town. Yeah. And I take down a hired man.
As well as a goat, huh?
Yeah, we had a man, he's supposedly a wrestler, too. And, they had a lot of hired men. They were out in the shed, and my brother, he's 8 years younger than I was. He runs jumped up on table, kind of a low table. And this fellow says he's going to be too much for you. He says in a year or two. I says, how do you know? You ain't tried it yet.
That was the wrong thing to say.
So he grabbed me, you know, and before he knew it, he ran all his back. And he rolled back. He won't laugh again, I said, I wouldn't bother laughing with you. I didn't dare laugh again. He weighed about 200. Yeah. Well, a lot of things happen in a long lifetime. This bear story, you know, was again I told you about the bear that I shot.